You're listening to LGRadio.online. I'm Leo Green, welcoming you to In a Lifetime, and this is part 7 of our series celebrating the incredible life and work of Dusty Springfield. We finished our last episode enjoying this. Well, welcome along to this episode of In a Lifetime. On the same album that Take Another Little Piece of My Heart appeared was this next track, and it couldn't be more contrasting.
Love is lovelier the second time around. Just as wonderful with both feet on the ground. It's that second time.
Absolutely glorious. You are listening to LGRadio.online with me, Leo Green. Hope all is well with you. So we've heard how Dusty wasn't just a soul singer. We've also heard how Dusty Springfield was, to a certain extent, a made-up character. And now time for another bit of a mythbuster. It's a common view that the album she recorded the following year in Memphis is the one the critics rave about as her best, and how her going to Memphis was a musical turning point because it produced some of her best work. And this is as much the case as it wasn't, because yes, she went to Memphis to work with Arif Mardin and Jerry Wexler and their group of musicians who, of course, had played on hundreds of the greatest soul records of all time for Atlantic Records. But the truth is that when Dusty found herself in the same studio where so many of her heroes had recorded the classics, she froze. And what's more, the kind of musicians Jerry Wexler used were very different. They were more spontaneous, and they certainly weren't reading music like the session guys in London had been. And this instinctive, sometimes slower, but definitely sometimes faster way of recording didn't really fit in with Dusty's recording technique, which would often involve her spending hours just getting one line to her incredibly high standards as she sang with a full backing track. In Memphis, Jerry Wexler wanted her to sing to as little musical accompaniment as possible before deciding whether or not to add strings later in the process. Now, this is not to say one method is better than the other. Recording is, it's like cooking. Everyone makes the same dish differently. You can't and shouldn't compare. And in the end, Dusty felt more comfortable overdubbing her vocal parts on her own in New York after the Memphis musicians had recorded their parts. But despite all these challenges, although strictly speaking, Dusty's vocal parts weren't recorded in Memphis, the album, Dusty in Memphis, is a standout point in Dusty's career because it does display another side of her genius. But before we get into all that, let's hear the track that ended the first side, which features the classic lolloping, funky swing and rhythmic space of the Memphis rhythm section, coupled with embellishments from the familiar-sounding Memphis horns that had graced so many of the classic Wilson Pickett hits that Dusty loved. This is Breakfast in Bed.
You've been crying, your face is a mess. Come in, baby, you can dry the tears on my dress. She's hurt you again, I can tell. Oh, I know that look so well. Don't be shy.
Memphis album, and one of the many things that stands out from these sessions to me is that Dusty, for perhaps the very first time, found herself in a studio situation where she didn't have to explain to musicians the feel and vibe that she wanted on a recording, as she had previously had to do back in London. That there was no point in asking these musicians to play in the style of, say, Wilson Pickett, because they had been the actual guys on those records. So for the first time, she finds herself amongst her musical equals, if you like. There were none of the walls of sound that Johnny Franz had used on their Phillips recordings with the dozens and dozens of musicians. And Dusty has said in interviews that she found it a very different prospect of having to record just her voice with a rhythm track, as she did in New York for this record, rather than be in the studio surrounded by all the musicians as she had done previously in London. And I think her ability to adapt shows her skill and genius as a singer even further. For her to sing in such sonic isolation must have seemed totally foreign to her at the time. But listening to the tracks now, you would never suspect she was in any way in unfamiliar waters. And this one is the song that Aretha had turned down, but Dusty did want to sing. And it turned out to be one of the biggest of her career, the one people always say, ah, yes, that's Dusty in Memphis. She really is our greatest soul singer. Now, a more accurate statement would be, here's Dusty singing in New York over a backing track featuring a pure Memphis soul rhythm section, because in this instance, whilst the accompaniment is soul, Dusty's vocal lines are not. This vocal sound is classic Peggy Lee-influenced Dusty.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Dust and Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was, he was. Yes, he was. When he started sweet talking to me, he'd come and tell me everything is alright. He'd kiss and tell me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Lord, oh, he was.
Yes, he was.
The song that shows the vision of Jerry Wexler and Dusty's genius ability to adapt to a situation and, of course, draw us in more than 50 years after she stood in the recording booth to lay down her vocals. Now, this next one from the same sessions brilliantly shows how, if Dusty hadn't have had the voice she had, we would still know her name today, but as a producer. This was a song that had just picked up an Oscar in 1968 for Best Song, having been featured in the film The Thomas Crown Affair. When Dusty recorded it, things didn't really go smoothly in the Memphis studios, with the musicians not quite getting to grips with all the chords. So Dusty, in what proved to be a production stroke of genius, suggested they try the song at a slower tempo and not pick it up to the regular tempo until the last verse. And the results of her suggestion were, of course, stunning, despite the fact that Dusty would later say, in fact, she hated this song.
Round, like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on a never spinning wheel, like a snowball down a mountain, or a carnival. Like a carousel that's turning, running rings around the moon. Like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face. And the world is like an apple whirling silently in space. Like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind. Tunnel that you follow to a tunnel of its own, down a hollow to a cavern where the sun has never shone, like a door that keeps revolving in a half-forgotten dream, or the ripples from a pebble someone tosses in a stream. Like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face. And Keys that jingle in your pocket, words that jangle in your head. Why did summer go so quickly? Was it something that you said? Lovers walk along the shore and leave their footprints in the sand. Is the sound of distant drumming just the pictures hanging in a hallway and the fragment of a song? Half-remembered names and faces, but to whom do they belong? When you knew that it was over, you were suddenly aware that the autumn leaves were turning to the color of a smile, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever-spinning reel, as the images unwind, like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind.
I think perhaps that's the most unlikely track to come out of a Memphis recording session in the 60s. Let's hear a couple more from Dusty's Memphis album before we head off to see what she was up to in the 1970s. And this is another Goffin and King gem. The rhythm section on this is pure Memphis. The drums sound like they've been lifted straight off an Al Green session. And what's really interesting is that whereas in London with Johnny Franz, Dusty would be singing along to a musical arrangement of a song that had been done especially for her, written by one of the many arrangers who had been working with her for years. But in Memphis, it was really different because Jerry Wexler wanted Dusty to work with the musicians, tell them what she wanted, how the song should build and develop. And whilst at the same time, Dusty loved the fact that she could have their input on the recording as well with regards to the arrangement of the songs, I suspect it was this new recording environment that went towards the album containing some genuine moments of absolute musical perfection.
Your toy balloon has sailed in the sky. Must have been exciting. And up to the peaks you were bound. Now you're stranded alone, and the past is unknown, and there is no easy way down. No, it isn't very easy when you're left on your own. No, it isn't very easy when each road you take is one more mistake. There's no one to break.
No easy way down, bringing this episode of In a Lifetime to a close here on LGRadio.online. More Dusty Springfield tomorrow. Please do check the website out for all our details, LGRadio.online. Thanks for listening.